today I want to talk about getting the word on your insides. I want to talk to you about living inside out. Living inside out. And this is a whole paradigm shift from before when you came into the kingdom. See, the world lives outside in. God tells us to live inside out. Let me explain what I'm talking about there. The world tells you you can't be happy unless something good happens to you from the outside. God says, no, you're to be happy, and then the outside changes. So there's some of us here going, I'll be happy when my marriage is fixed. You got this twisted. God says, be happy while it's being fixed. Oh, I'll be happy when I hit the lotto. See, come on, somebody. I know you're playing Powerball. I know you're playing. So your mentality is, if something good happens to me, then I can be happy. See, you ain't in the kingdom yet. You forgot where you live now. That's how it was without Jesus. And so we look to things to bring us happiness. We say, oh, if I get a better job, then I'll be happy. But see, you're still living outside in. In Jesus, Jesus says, no. You live from the inside out. And whatever you manifest within will manifest outside. That's how you change your world. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting ready to change my world. Okay, so we're living inside out. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, 5 through 7. Mark chapter 7, 5 through 7. It says this, then the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands? Somebody say, ugh. Okay, and he answered and said to them, don't be talking about my disciples. No, he doesn't say that. He wanted to say that. He says, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now catch this part. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we're gathered together. Lord, I feel your presence so strong in this place. And Lord, I pray that your presence would come and that you would blow upon your word. You would blow upon your word with that same breath that you blew into Adam to cause him to live. And I ask, Lord God, that you would cause this truth of the word to live on the inside of us. Father, I know you're releasing answers to questions that people have about their life. Give them revelation so that we might change our lives and therefore change our worlds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So here's Jesus teaching the word as he does, and he comes across criticism of the Pharisees, you know. And, you know, the Pharisees at the time, you've got to understand, they weren't evil people. They were the churchgoers. But they were the churchgoers that made following God about the rules and not the heart. And we still have a lot of Pharisaical Christians in the church today. We might have some here. That's all right. We're going to help you. Much of the Christian faith still has a Pharisaical spirit in it, in that they want to stick to obeying the letter of the law but not have any heart change. And that's a problem, because you've got it backwards. This thing is about a heart change, not you just keeping the rules and regulations. And so Jesus was very adamant, and he tells them, you guys are being hypocritical. And he tells the Pharisees that you're the ones that Isaiah prophesied about. You honor me with your mouth, but your heart's far from me. And then he says something very interesting. He says, in vain you worship me. In vain you worship me. Now, what does that mean? The word vain means to no effect. It's like you're worshiping me, but it's not really worship. You're not getting anything out of it. You're not getting any of the benefits of actually worshiping. In other words, your worship is no good. That's a problem. Because maybe there's some of us, just maybe a few of us in this room today, that your worship is no good. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want my worship to be no good. Because the Bible tells me my worship can be powerful. My worship can change my destiny. My worship can change my circumstance. My worship can take a depression out of my life. So I definitely don't want worship that's in vain, that's of no effect. But do you know what? Many of us in this room, you worship in vain. And don't get mad at me. I'm going to help you today, okay? I'm just reading the Bible to you. So then Mark 7, verse 9, you jump down. He begins to say this, and he says to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Now, what is he saying? He's saying this. You reject God's voice, but you keep doing the traditional things that he said to do. It's kind of like going to church, and you know you should go to church, and you serve because you know that's what you're supposed to do. But when God meets with you in your devotional time, and he begins to tell you, hey, stop doing this thing, or stop going out with that person, right there, you don't obey his voice, but you just think, well, if I just keep doing the traditional things, I don't have to do what he's telling me to do in this area of my life. And then what we begin to do is we begin to value the traditional things above his actual voice. Are you tracking with me today? And so what we then begin to produce is we begin to produce Christians that are Christians that honor God with their mouth, but their heart is far from them. And so you got Christians that have no morals. Yeah, Christians that they go to church, they serve, they may even give tithes and offerings, but yet they have no morals. They still are having sex outside of marriage. And they're trying to ignore that part, the word, the actual thing that God is trying to get to you. And by just, well, I'm doing these things, doesn't this make me good? No. This is what the problem was that Jesus was trying to address here. You're rejecting the commandments of God, the things that he tells you to do, and you're resigning yourself to tradition. But look what he says in this next verse here, verse 9 through 13. He says this in the next part here. He says, to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition, making, here it is, making the word of God of no effect, verse 13, through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So herein lies the problem. If you resign yourself to just doing the traditions of what it means to be a Christian, but you ignore the voice of God that is trying to speak to you and tell you things that are going to make your life better, you then, by your traditions, make the word of God of no effect. That's a problem. Because what you're doing now is you're making sure that the word doesn't work in your life. And we got a lot of Christians coming to church and the word is not working in your life. That's why you still have to go and get medication from the doctor for anxiety. When if you just will allow God to tell you what to fix, you won't need to take pills for anxiety because you'll have the Prince of Peace speaking to you and the peace of God ruling over you. Can I get an amen on that? But see, we don't want to listen to his word. We want to obey the traditions of man. We don't want to listen to him tell us, hey, you need to quit doing this. Stop going to the bars. We don't want to hear him tell us not to date this person or stop doing this. We don't want to listen to that. But yet we'll come to church and do all the outward things. But here's what we're doing. We're really hurting ourselves because the Bible says here, we're making God's word of no effect. That's the danger of tradition. Tradition cannot transform us. The only thing that can transform us is God's word. And here's the thing about God's word. It's forever moving. It's forever flowing. It's forever going. Tradition gets you stuck. Tradition makes you old. Come on, somebody. And we love tradition because we like to point to things to prove our holiness. We like to point and go, man, I'm holy because I go to church every Sunday. Man, I'm holy because I serve. I'm an usher. I'm on the worship team. I'm this, I'm that. The flesh loves that kind of thing. But when you think about your holiness, it's not dependent on what you do for God. It's dependent on your relationship with him. It's dependent on what he did. It's dependent on the fact that he cleanses you by his sacrifice and his blood. So Jesus is addressing a problem that many folks have. They've given themselves over to the traditions of men, making the word of God not work in their lives. I don't know about you, but I need God's word working in my life. I need his word, his promises working over my family, over my kids, over my life. I want that. It's the right that he died for me to have that. But for some of us in this room, because you continually resign yourselves to the outward things that you perform and do, and you null your senses to his word, and you're not listening to him, you begin to make his word of no effect. Because here's the thing about God. If you don't want to listen to him, you don't have to. You don't have to. The Bible says he'll give you right over to the destruction of your flesh if that's what you want. That's the thing about free will. God gives us over to the things that we really want. And that's why it's important that we get our insides right, that we begin to desire and want the right things. Are you still tracking with me? So here's what all those scriptures mean in Mark 7, and you can go back and read them on your own. I encourage you to study them on your own. But basically, he's saying this. It's possible to do the right thing with a wrong heart. It's possible to do the right things with a wrong heart. And when you do the right thing with a wrong heart, Jesus says you're doing it in vain, which basically means this. You're not getting the benefit of it. You're not getting the effects of it. Here's the thing. You might as well not even be doing it. And that's where a lot of Christians are at today. Doing the right thing with the wrong heart. How many are tracking with me today? So that's what he's addressing here. And that's what we got to look at in our hearts this morning. It's possible to worship God in vain. The definition, Webster's Dictionary says vain means producing no results, useless. And how many churches have I been in over the past 25 years where I literally walked in there and felt like there was uselessness going on? I've walked into churches, I've preached in churches, and I've just thought to myself, there is no life here. They're doing the right thing the wrong way. Their heart is not in it. That's a problem, y'all. And I want to make sure that as we come and we gather together as Elevate Life Church, that we make sure that we live from the inside out, having an emphasis on what's on the inside, and not be like the Pharisees, always pointing to the outside. Are you tracking with me? Because that's the same thing Jesus is dealing with here. So the Pharisees thought they were right with God because of the outward things they were doing. Jesus says you're doing the outward things right, but your inside is garbage. Your inside is bad, and therefore he condemned them as hypocrites. He later went on to say they were like whited sepulchers or tombs that were painted on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. See, this is what a Pharisaical spirit will do. It'll cause you to look good on the outside, but inside you got no power. You got nothing going on the inside. Are you tracking with me? We want to change that today, okay? So if you serve God out of a tradition rather than a revelation, you can stifle the blessing and the power of God. And I saw this growing up with a lot of my grandfather's churches. I saw people that loved God, but they had no revelation of why they were doing what they do. And I don't want to produce another generation that does not know why they go to church. Listen, y'all are responsible to know why you come to the house of God. It's not because it's what you're supposed to do. No, no, you're missing out. Well, it's because my mama told me I need to go to church. Mama said, you know, you need to come up out of that. Praise God, mama said that. But you now got to get a revelation of why you go to church. Why you do what you do. Because if you don't have a revelation, the chances are you're doing it out of tradition. And when you do it out of tradition, you miss so much. You miss so much. In America right now, there are churches full on Sunday mornings. And half the people that are going don't even know why they're there. Some of us in this room, you don't really even know why you're here. Well, I'm a Christian, and we're supposed to go to church. You need to read your Bible. Come on, somebody. You take notes when I'm preaching, because I've been trying to tell you for 8 years now why you come to church, and some of us still haven't got it. Amen? But you got to understand, I'm going to say it again. If you serve God out of tradition rather than revelation, you can stifle the blessings and the power of God. So I saw good people in the traditional church come to church every Sunday, doing the right thing, singing songs, lifting holy hands, but they were all broke. And all their kids didn't serve God with them. And there weren't blessed people. And that used to bug me. It's like, how can this be the church of Jesus Christ when there's no blessing and there's no power? And you want to know why? Tradition. Tradition. The more tradition there is sometimes, the less power and blessing there is. We never want to be married to tradition above God's word. Are you with me today? So let me now take you to back to Mark 7. And we're going to start here. I want to read to you verse 14. It says here, and when he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. And if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, listen to this, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within, and they defile a man. And so this, my brothers and sisters, is where we understand that to live in the kingdom of God, we got to live from the inside out. Are you tracking with me now? We got to get our insides right. And when we get our insides right, the outside can change. We can't be like the carnal people that are just waiting. If I get more money, I'll be happy. If I just get this job, if I can just start my own business, then I'm going to be happy. No, you are not. You are not happy because your insides are not right. Quit blaming your husband. Quit blaming your wife. Quit blaming your bank account. Quit blaming your neighborhood. Matter of fact, just quit blaming and begin to fix your eyes on Jesus. Well, if I just get a man, you'll still be unhappy, and then you'll jack him up, and you'll make him unhappy. And then the two unhappy people will give birth to unhappy children. And your whole family and genealogy will be unhappy. You laugh, but I've seen it. And that's where alcohol comes in the picture. And that's where we got to smoke up to escape our unhappy life. But see, in the kingdom, Paul told us you got to learn how to abound and to abase. And you say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means you should be happy when you're broke, and you should be happy when you're blessed. Be happy. Tell your neighbor, be happy. We got people here got too many reasons why they're not happy. And they're placing their joy or their well-being on something happening to them that will bring them. Some of you are never happy. You go to the happiest place on earth and you still ain't happy. Everybody's happy at Disneyland. You mad. People are fulfilling their dreams. I've always wanted to go to Disney. This is so awesome, Mickey. And you're mad at Disneyland. These stupid lines. I just paid $10 for this hamburger. Look how small it is. The problem is not Disneyland. The problem is you. I feel a tomato spirit in here. I feel it. Got to get a glass that comes up right here so nobody can hit me with celery or something. See, this is what I'm telling you. If you live like the world, it's always got to take something to make you feel good. Jesus says, no, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Jesus comes, and he says, listen, I rolled away the stone of the law. You are free. You are free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You can now have the ability to have joy and happiness all the time. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've come through. You don't know what happened to me. Listen, what I do know is you came through it, which means it didn't kill you, which means you survived it, which means you should be thankful. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to understand what I'm saying here. But see, we want to hold on to reasons why I'm not happy. And you sit down with some people and they have all these reasons why they're not happy. I just want to change your focus this morning to quit looking outward and now begin to look inward. Because if I could get you to look within and live out of the revelation that Jesus is giving you within, life will get better. And it is proven, it is scientifically proven that if you're a happy person, you have less ailments in your body. Scientifically proven that people that are at peace and that are happy and have a good outlook on life get sick less than people that are negative, than people that are depressed, than people that are always looking at the bad in life. You're inviting disease. You're inviting sickness. It is a landing path for those types of spirits and even those type of things biologically to be received in your life. And that is why, again, Jesus says you got to live from the inside out. And the scriptures take a lot of time telling you who you are positionally. But the problem is you want to live out of your condition rather than your position. We've got to learn to live out of our position in Christ. Your position in Christ says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Your position in Christ says if you pray in the name of Jesus and ask anything in his name, God will do it for you. If we can learn from that place, learn to live from that place, what are you depressed about? But see, we don't. We live from our condition. And your condition says, I barely got enough money to pay my bills this month. Your conditions say, my body's achy and hurting, and this hurts, and that hurts. And so we begin to make a decision. Am I going to live out of my present condition and let that dictate to me if I'm going to be happy? Oh, here's another good one. If I'm going to be in a good mood? Or are we going to learn to live out of the position that we have in Christ, where it says that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus? I'm the head and not the tail. You know what that means? You're the brains and not the butt. That's what that means. Are we going to live from that or live from our condition? Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees and he's telling them, listen, you got to learn to live from the inside out. Amen? But here's the problem. Some of our insides, here it is, our insides are still jacked up. So even when I tell you live from the inside out, your inside is still full of fleshly things. Your inside is still, you still think like the world. You still operate like them girls out there in the streets. Come on, somebody. You still think like them dudes out there in the street. So when you go inside, your inside is just as bad as your outside. But here's where the Word of God comes in. Here's where you got to get proactive. Here's where you got to say, okay, I want to change. Tell your neighbor, I want to change. Why was that so hard for somebody to say, I want to change? Tell your other neighbor that you just ignored, I want to change. So here's what we got to do to live inside out. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says this, for assuredly, Jesus says this, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have what he says. Tell your neighbor, I can have whatever I say. Just marinate on that for a minute. It sounds too good to be true. Can you look at the scripture again? Listen, because that sounds like it's my idea or some prosperity preacher or some guy on TV sweating really bad. But this really from the Bible. I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he can have whatever he says. Do you want to be healed? You have what you say. He will have whatever he or she says. It's in your Bible too. It's in your Bible too. But here's the key. Remember, we're talking about living inside out and does not doubt in his heart. This is the problem. This is the problem. We got Christians that don't have the word in their heart. We don't have the word in our heart. We have it in our minds. We have it in our thinking. We have it in our intellect. But did you know the Bible was not created simply to your intellect or to your mind? It's spirit to spirit. The Bible tells us this, that God is a spirit. So how do we get this thing working in our lives that we can have whatever we say? We got to get the word in our heart. Because I see that as a blessing, that I can have whatever I say. But for some of you, it's a curse. Because the junk you be saying is why your life is in the condition it's in. Keep saying your husband is no good. You can have whatever you say. Keep saying your little junior is a bad influence. Keep saying your little boy is a travieso. He's a troublemaker. You can have whatever you say. Are you tracking with me today? So whatever is in your heart, here it is, will come out of your mouth. Or whatever is in your heart will go up on your Facebook post. It used to be only the people that spent time with you knew how foolish you were. Now we just tell everybody how dumb we are. And guess who looks at your posts and things? Everybody. Everybody. Now let's get back to the text. If I get the word in my heart to where I do not doubt in my heart, then I can have whatever I say. We got to get back to basics in this house of getting the word in your heart. You got to get it in your heart. It ain't enough to just go to church. It ain't enough to serve. It ain't enough to do outreaches. Listen, we're trying to change lives here. And we can't change others' lives if we can't change our own. And I don't want to see good people like you and me miss out on the blessings of God like my grandfather's generation. There were great people in that church, but because of lack of revelation, they did the right things. They did not get the benefits. And to this day, their kids don't serve God. To this day, they never bought houses. They didn't get stuff like that. I want to receive the blessing. I want to get this working in my life. But what do I got to do? I got to get his word in my heart. I got to get it there. I got to get there. So I got to do devotions not out of a duty. I got to do my devotions on a mission. I got to get that word in my heart so when I speak it, I can have what I say. Are you tracking with me today? It works. It works. But for many of us, what's keeping it from working is the traditions of men. You just want to focus on the outward stuff. You just want to come to church and never learn the word. You just want to serve. You just want to do that. And those things are good. But it should never take precedence over getting God's word in your heart. Are you tracking with me today? You got to catch this today. Because the change you want to see in your life, you're waiting for a job to bring it. You're waiting for a man to bring it, a boyfriend. You're waiting for the right girl to come into your life so you can have your Jerry Maguire moment. You complete me. You need to wake up. What completes you is his word. but you got to fall in love with it. You got to love it. You got to go after it. You got to, you know, you got to get in that word. You got to ask God to teach you, okay? So if we get it in our heart, we can have what we say. Now, that changes all the responsibility off of me just waiting for something to happen. It puts it on me to understand this. I can change my life through the Word of God. Tell your neighbor like you believe it. I could change my life through the Word of God. Some of y'all getting mad. Dang, Pastor got me talking to folk. I don't want to talk to this dude right here. I'm trying to get you to speak some things so you can have what you say. Are you with me today? Okay, so we got to get the Word of God in your heart. Psalms 119 says it like this in verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We got people running around trying to resist sin. Oh, I just got to resist and we're white knuckling it all the way. You know, I don't want to sin. I'm not going to sin. Just get the word in your heart. 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 Oh, Pastor, I've had this addiction for so long. And I'm trying, just holding. Get the word in your heart. Get the word in your heart. Get the word in your heart. Every day, read your Bible. Sit there. And it ain't about how many books you read. It's what you get in your heart. You can read the same scripture for 4 days straight. Praise God. Get it in your heart. So here it is. How do we get the Word of God in our heart? I'm going to give it to you in 10 minutes here. You ready? Only one dude is ready. See, this is why y'all are jacked up. No. I'm just saying. Listen, I'm just playing. You got to be ready. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. How do I get the Word of God in our heart? Number one, you got to hear the Word. Romans chapter 10, 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's interesting. It says hearing twice. I like to read it like this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Faith comes by hearing, not having heard. Because some of y'all, that's how you work. Oh, I heard this before. It don't mean you got it. Don't mean you got it. Faith don't come by having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing again and hearing again and hearing again and hearing again. And this is the problem we have right now in America. Everybody's looking for a new message. We want new messages. The New Testament says there are those that go after itching ears. My ears itch. They need something new. Fool, you ain't done the basis right here. What you need a new message for? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Are you with me today? So you got to hear this word. You got to hear it. Now, here's the cool thing about hearing the word. You could hear someone like me preach, or you could get on and a podcast. You could go on YouTube. You can hear some folks preaching on there. But here's the cool thing. You don't need them. You know what you could do? Read your Bible out loud to yourself. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the... Pastor, are you saying I should talk to myself? Absolutely. Because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So we got to hear the word. So turn off whatever you're listening to. Come on. Amen. Sometimes you guys know I love music. I listen to music all the time. But for some of us that don't get in the word, you got to turn that off for a minute. Okay? Lil Uzi Vert will be there later. You need to get some word in you. Amen? Mariah can wait. Amen? Didn't she have a song like that too? I can wait. She needs to. Amen. Sometimes you just got to get the word in you. So you put the phone down. Get off of social media, because I know some of y'all, you're busted right now. Y'all on Facebook right now in church. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. What if, check this out, church, what if, as we're having an attitude to reverence God and the word more, what if we all made a covenant that while we're in church, we'll stay off of social media? I got 17 amens on that. It's about 150 of you in here. What if? Just marinate on that for a moment. See, here's the problem. We're looking for big changes. God's looking for little. We're waiting for something big. God, come in this room and rock us. God's saying, just get off of Facebook and I'll pebble you. For serious, for you know, from 10 to 11:30, give it a rest. What would happen then? See, it's in these little things. Because why? Here's the thing. Here's the problem with our generation. We don't value the word. See, you think, oh, I'm hearing the word, but I'm checking my post. But you ain't understanding the goal is to get it in your heart so that when you speak, you can have what you say. That's why when I was coming to church as a youngster with my brother Vince and stuff, we went to church different than everybody else. I brought something to write with. I brought a binder. You go to my house to this day and look in my bookcase, and I have books of notes of things that I heard because I was trying to get the word in my heart. I wasn't just one of these people going, preach it, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. No, I was getting that word in my heart. Are you tracking with me today? Come on, you're going to get me in trouble here. All right? So hear the word of God. I'm not trying to get anybody mad. I'm simply trying to help you. Hear the word of God. Okay, number two, if we're going to get the word of God in our heart, we then have to speak the word. This truth transformed my life years ago when I got it. And Psalms 45, verse 1, it says this, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So what David is talking about here is his tongue can write. So look what it says in Proverbs 7, verse 1 through 3. My son, keep my words, treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. But listen to this. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. So how do I get God's word in my heart? I use my pen. Everybody stick out your tongue. Right there, that's your pen. And when I speak, it writes. Does it write on the air? No, it writes on my heart. So whatever I speak goes on my heart. Now again, that's a blessing or it's a curse. So you keep quoting those lyrics in your car while you're driving to work. And you wonder why your heart is jacked up. Because I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and F this and blank that. Yeah, B. Yeah. Da, 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 da. And I'm going to go get what's getting in your heart. That's why you're angry all the time. That's why you got a porn addiction. That's why you can't. Are you tracking with me? Because whatever I say with my tongue, my pen goes on my heart. Are you with me today? I'm just trying to open your eyes this morning. That's all I'm trying to do. So the things you speak get in your heart because this is the system that God is using to get things in your heart. So how do we get the right things in our heart? By speaking the right things. Okay? We got to speak the right things. So we can always tell what you think by let me change that. We can always tell what's in your heart by what you say. So you could say, you could want everybody to think you love God, but we could tell if God's in your heart by what comes out of your mouth, not your church attendance. Your Facebook posts will say more about where your heart is than your church attendance. It really will. Your Instagram posts, your nasty Snapchats, whatever, all that. That says more about you than where you are on a Sunday from 11 from 10 to 12, okay? So we've got to begin to now understand, I got to get this word in my heart. So I got to be hearing the word. I got to be speaking the word. And here's the last thing. I told you, I got 5 minutes left. The third thing that you need to do to get the word of God in your heart, you got to do the word. You got to do the word. See, you got to do the word. James 1:22 says this, be a doer of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, you deceive yourselves. Or as DJ Khaled would say, you played yourself. Don't ever play yourself. Amen? Another one. So we got to do the word. We got to do the word, okay? Now, understand this. The world understands this principle. That's why when you take a class, what do they make you do after they teach you? They give you a test. What is the test for? You say, oh, the test is to see if we learned it. No, the test is an opportunity for you to do what you learned. And once you do it, you get it. Amen? But you don't got it till you do it. Now, here's the problem. We hear, we never do. We deceive ourselves. Oh, I heard this before. I got this. No, you don't got it because you don't do it. You don't got it till you do it. Tell your neighbor you don't got it till you do it. And now tell him you don't got it because you don't do it. I know I'm going to start a fight in here. That's all right. Ushers, be ready. Be ready, ushers. So to get it in my heart, the only word that's in my heart is the word I do, not the word I know. I wish it was the word we know. Because a lot of us know stuff that we don't do. I wish it was the word we know. It'd be awesome if it was that. See, we're deceived in America. We think learning is changing. It's not. That's why you could go get a degree and still be a fool. Still be dumb as rocks. Smile at me, those of you with degrees. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking about somebody else. But it's true. Because learning is not changing. Doing is changing. But we got to learn to live from the inside out. The insides change what we do. Are you tracking with me today? So the mission, the thing we've got to get down in us, is I give you this shot today. Was that a good shot? Y'all get that today? It's a good shot? Was that like, no, I won't even say. I won't even say because some of you are going to take you down a bad path right there. But listen, we've got to get this revelation, and I want you to chew on this in your personal prayer time all week this week, is I got to learn to live from the inside out. It's not what comes at me that defiles me. It's what comes out of me. So I got to get good stuff in me. And the way I get good stuff in me is I hear the word, I speak the word, I do the word. I hear the word, I speak the word, I do the word. So this week, you're going to have opportunities to do what I'm teaching you. But here's the thing. You got to create those opportunities on purpose. So here's how you do that. When you come to church, there should be a rhythm of how you live your life. See, in church, you get a word. But Monday through Saturday is where you decide, are you going to practice what you learned? Are you with me? Because the test will come at some point in your life. The test will come. But you've got to make a decision to now go, what did I learn in church? I learned I need to get the word of God in my heart. So tomorrow when you wake up, you have an opportunity to practice what you learned. Because how do I get the word of God in my heart? The first thing? The second thing? The third thing? That's it. And if I get the word of God in my heart, the Bible tells me I can have what I say. Do you need a better marriage? Get the word of God in your heart. No, Pastor, I need a new husband. No, get the word of God in your heart. Well, if I just had a better job. No, get the word of God in your heart. You need to see that as the answer to all the issues that you're facing. Norma's listening to tunes over here. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. No, that's okay. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment. Father, I just pray over every person that is in the sound of my voice today, Lord. Teach us to live from the inside out. We're not like the world. We're not like the world, Father, that needs circumstances to change before we do. Lord, if you change us, everything changes. If we change our outlook, everything will change. Let this word resonate, marinate in the people, Father. Let it give them hope that anything they're dealing with can change if they just get your word in their heart. I pray for everybody battling sickness. I pray for every person here that got a bad report from the doctor. May you hear this. You can have whatever you say if you get his word in your heart. Every person here battling financial problems, you can have whatever you say if you get the word of God in your heart. Father, help us today. I pray that every person would leave encouraged and also on a mission to find the word and get it in their heart by hearing it, speaking it, and doing it. We give you all the glory. keep your heads bowed for a moment. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're saying, Pastor, I heard this, but I'm so far away from God. I need to give my life back to him. I need to get myself back on track. If that's you, just slip up a hand. If there's anybody here like that today, yeah, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar today, but I'm going to bring you to the altar of your heart. I just want to pray this prayer. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, I can't make it without you. I need you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And teach me the ways of your kingdom. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from that way. I repent. And I ask you to give me a fresh start. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, the Bible says if you pray, you confess that from your heart, the Lord will come into your life and he'll change your life forever. And I believe he'll do that for you today. He's done that for so many of us in this room. But I want to challenge you this week, do your homework. Hear the word, speak the word, do the word. God bless you guys. Have an amazing week. Amen.